I am grateful for the way that Brother Steve does the offering in our church. And the reason I am is it is an act of worship, just like he just shared with you. And I've been asked many times down through the years by other worship leaders. They said, well, how do you stop the worship and where do you break to take an offering? As soon as they asked me that, I realized they have the whole wrong idea about what offering is. Offering is worship. Amen. It's bringing the treasures of your heart to present before the Lord. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's an act of worship. You don't have to stop. You just have to flow right through it, just like Brother Steve just did. And thank you, brother, for your heart. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's word? I want to read to you from Joshua chapter 1. We're at the end of the chapter. At the beginning of what they're doing. We're at the beginning of a new year. I know for some of us it's kind of hit us like a hurricane right off of the bat. We always hope for better, don't we? Amen. And you can. As a child of God, God says, I have for you a future and a hope. I have a destiny for you. And God is with us no matter what comes our way. Bless his holy name. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 16, where did all you people come from this morning? I'm glad you're here, but this place filled. That's good. Joshua 1, 16, they answered Joshua, all you command us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. As we hearken to Moses in all things, so we will hearken to you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and will not hearken to all you command him shall be put to death. Pretty serious stuff. Only be strong, vigorous, and of good courage. Joshua had just told the people that to get everything ready and to pack up because in 3 days they were going to enter into the promised land. And their reply is, yes, sir. Let's get her done. I want to talk to you today about unanimity. So would you bow your head with me and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne right now as we've come before your presence this morning. We thank you that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in any time of need in our lives. And Father, we are always in need of you. We are always in need of more of your word. Your word is powerful and mighty. It comes like thunder and lightning from heaven. And yet, Father, as it comes to our hearts and lives, it comes like the dew of the manna that was on the ground in the morning for the Israelites. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Because, Lord, you are taking us onward as well. Father, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here yet. And Lord, you said to live each day and each moment with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength for you. The God, you promised that if we would seek the kingdom of God first and your righteousness, that everything else in our lives would be taken care of. So, Father, we sit before you today as your people, as the sheep of your pasture. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to grow in grace and in wisdom and in revelation and knowledge of the truth. Lord, like the crowd of old, we would see Jesus. And in seeing him, Lord God, never be the same again. So Holy Spirit of God, move and breathe. And Lord, just hover across the face of our hearts as you did this creation. And Lord, bring us to life in Jesus, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement with that prayer said, amen. You may be seated. You bless my heart being here today, but even more so, you bless God's heart, being in his house, being among his people. There's no other place on earth, I don't think, that is nearer heaven than when we're with God's people. You may not be familiar with the word unanimity, but unanimity is when everyone in a group is in agreement about some action to be taken. In other words, somebody has set out a vision or a plan before us, or they've given us a word, and and, you know, in a great body of people and with one mind and one voice and one accord, everybody says, yes, let's do that. Let's go in that direction. There's great beauty and power that exists in unity and harmony. Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. But man, if we can get everyone in agreement on just about anything, nothing is impossible. We read in the scripture how that God had to come down at the Tower of Babel, and he had to confuse all the languages of the earth. Everybody spoke one language, and God said, if they're able to do that and they're all able to talk the same thing and walk the same thing and believe the same thing, nothing will be impossible to them. The only problem was their hearts were not yet converted. And he knew what those possibilities would be and what their end would be. So he came down and he scattered the language. He came down again on the day of Pentecost in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, now I'm going to bring them into a oneness. Not only that, but I'm going to start with another language. And the Bible said when the Spirit fell on, they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And he said, from this day forward, I want you to learn how to walk in unity of spirit and to keep the bond of peace. Because when your hearts are changed and you're unified in the things of God, then you can touch the world for the good and the love of God. There is strength in numbers. There's no doubt about it. And Joshua had commanded these people to get ready. He told them in 3 days they're going to be crossing over. And they said, all you command us, we'll do. And wherever you send us, we'll go. I'm sure there was great excitement and great passion in their hearts. He said, all the things that we hearkened to Moses in, we will hearken to you in. Only may the Lord your God be with you. And Moses doesn't say, Joshua doesn't say it here. But when they said, you know, just as we hearkened unto Moses, we're going to hearken unto you, he probably thought inside, that's what I was afraid of. Because when you read the history of how they did and didn't listen to Moses, it wasn't all that sharp. But the reality is that a whole generation that had come out of Egypt had perished in the wilderness. Because as Brother Steve said earlier, they just refused to obey God. They had a very short journey across that desert, and it turned into 40 years of just running in circles and running after circle after circle after circle. But now this younger generation is hearing that we're finally going to enter into the promised land, and they said, man, count me in. We're all in, Joshua. Occasionally we do see people at their best, don't we? One thing I hate about the media in our day and social media, that our fallen nature, we want to focus on all the bad stuff and all the negative stuff. And, you know, if you really believed everything that was on social media and everything that the news channels threw at you, you know, you'd just be so depressed you couldn't live and walk in life. But I'm glad, you know what, most of the people I know are not like the people they talk about. They always talk about the worst. They always talk about the bad. They always want that shock factor, you know, that'll get us to stay on the channel for a couple minutes to see what happened to who. But, you know, there's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of good in you. There is. I love my church family. I see a lot of good in you. God sees even more. And see, when we see people at their best, don't we like to be in crowds? I love to worship with this worship team. The only thing I like better than that when I'm worshiping and singing songs is to be somewhere in a conference where there's like hundreds or thousands of worship leaders and somebody's leading them and they're all worshiping God and, you know, with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength, and there's not a dry eye in the house and there's not a hand hanging down. Everybody is just worshiping and the glory of God is coming down. We like to multiply our voice, don't we, by hundreds and by thousands, and we like to feel the strength and enjoy the confidence of what we call unanimity. That's what that is, man, when everybody's focused on one thing. I was down years ago, back in the early 80s, they had a Jesus for Washington thing, and there was almost 1 million Christians on the mall in D.C., and we spent the whole day together just praying for the country, praying for our leaders, praying that God would touch our lives and help us to grow. And man, what unity. It was a little slice of heaven on earth. I thank God for that. It's a beautiful thing to see 20, 30, 40,000 people all intent on one purpose, uttering one cry. I was too young for Vietnam. I couldn't join the service. I was too young, and I've been too old for everything else. But there's sometimes when I see our armed services and I see movies and different things and they're going through drills and these armies are out doing their thing the way they've been disciplined and taught, that I'm a little bit envious. I think, man, I'd like to be a part of something like that just one time where everybody's just sold out completely to one thing. One of my favorite movies is Drumline. How many of you ever seen that? You know, these drummers, these high school drummers, they're at college or something, I don't know. But they're out there and they, you know, there's just whole lines of them, man. And they're just rapping them drums and everybody is just in sync and they're just marching, man. And that does something down inside of me. And when I see any group of people that are doing something good and I know that they're all together and it's an expression of an obedient spirit to accomplish something, man, it inspires my heart. We sometimes have that when we come to church, don't we? I love church. I'm going to tell you why I love church. I live in my head too much outside of here. I'm all by myself a lot of times. Thank God I've got a wife and Carla loves me and shares so much of my life together. But even then, there's times that, you know, we're just in our heads and we're in our own little world and we're by ourselves and we wonder if we're going to make it through sometimes or if we're going to be able to do this or do that or the other thing. But man, when we come into church, it's like, wow, I'm not by myself. I'm not just one voice. There's other people that see things like I do, that have the faith that I do, that love the God I do, that want to sing the songs that I want to sing and want to praise God. Because the world will try to suck the life out of you. There's no doubt about it. And see, we come to church and the Spirit of God begins to move our hearts and we get enraptured with the presence of God and the words of the songs and the reading of Scripture, they just kind of jump off the screen and they jump up off the pages and we see it and we see it so clearly, man. And we feel like we're touching heaven, don't we? We're bringing God right down into the room. That's what church is about. The Holy Spirit gets to moving in us. We're like the babe in Elizabeth's womb in the presence of Mary, man. Something just starts stirring. And someone will sing or someone will speak a word that all of us are in agreement with and it touches, it goes past the flesh and the bone. It goes right down to the marrow and right down in our souls. We think, man, I need this. I want this. I got to have this. People think they don't need church. They'll say things like, church is just a building. It's just another place to go. Man, if that's what you think, you are so missing it. We miss out because in the sanctuary with several hundred others who are hearing and speaking the same thing, we see the ideal of Christianity. We don't see that out in the world, but we see it together here, don't we? We do. And we see God's divine care in our lives and others, and we talk about God's providence, and we talk about God's grace, and it's where our hearts are like melted into one for a little while. It's a shelter, it's a tower, and the songs that we sing, they become like a pledge, and some of them become like a vow from our heart, or they become a prayer, they're a great musical consecration of our hearts and lives before God. Now, if you sat all morning while we were worshiping like this, you don't know what I'm talking about. You got to get in this thing. You got to participate in this thing. Worship is not a spectator sport. You might sit there and say, man, what's old sister so-and-so doing over? What is that noise? Who cares? Worship God. Amen. And I surely hope so. Scripture touches us when we're together in church. That's why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'm going to be in your midst. And Scripture touches us in the depths of our souls. It inspires us to become our best selves under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've had a few times I've come to church and lost the victory after I got here. Yeah, don't be the reason. Hello. You have to. You've walked into church and run into somebody like, how are you doing? I'm doing really good until I run into you. But most of the time, I'd say 99.99% of the time, I don't know anybody that goes to a church where God is truly present, where the word is preached, that when you leave, you're in worse shape than you were when you came in here. This is where I come to get recalibrated. This is where I come to find out where true north is again, because the world tries to get me to go to the right hand, and this one says go to the left, and this one says go there, and I get to go with you all, and I'm thinking, nope, I'm staying on the path. I'm going right through here. Amen. See, we are learning and worshiping when we're together under the influence, not only of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, but all of the other voices around us that have that same mutual faith and love and unanimity. I'm going to teach you a new word today if you didn't know it. We're speaking to ourselves and each other. You know, when we're doing church, we're doing what the Bible says. It says to talk to yourself. It's all right to talk to yourself as long as you do it in Jesus' name. And let him be the one who talks. Don't talk for him. Don't invent and create things that he didn't say and tell other people God told me to tell you. No. The Bible says, listen what it says. It says, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, and learning to give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've had one of the worst years you could have so far. My mother's tried to check out on me two or three times. Right since the New Year's, you know, she decided to bring it in with a bang. And I don't know what you're going through. Our former family pastor, Brandy Juergen, and her husband, Tom. Tom's dad passed away the other evening. They're going through a terrible time. The new year came in pretty rough. And some of you are probably going through some very rough things as well, or people that you love and people around you. But what I want you to know is when we come together, just like you sang in that song a little bit ago, all things work together for good somehow because you're a child of God. And when we come in here, we help strengthen each other. The day my mom went to the hospital, I came to church because it was a Sunday morning. She had went early on Sunday morning to the hospital, and they took her down to University of Maryland Medical Center. And I came to church, and somebody asked me in the back of the church, they said, I can't even believe you're here this morning. Why are you here? I said, because this is where I need to be. I'm not a doctor. I knew she needed surgeons, and I knew she needed a lot of things, and there was nothing I could do for her. I needed God to use you to do something for me and my family and for others so that we'd have the strength and grace to get through it all. And man, that's what church is about. I want to encourage you, and I know you got to use wisdom and common sense, but I'm telling you, when you're going through the worst things in your life, the worst thing you can do is sit home and leave church, not come to church. This is a place where God wants to fill you up, strengthen you, encourage you, give you the grace and strength and the anointing and the power to go forth and conquer anything you've got to conquer. And he will do it. I know, I've proved him for 40 plus years and he's never let me down yet. My one grandfather passed away, literally been dead for a month, but they had him on machines and, you know, we had sat in the waiting room day after day and hour after hour. And I remember years ago, Sunday evening came and we had Sunday evening church back then. And I got up and I said, I love you folks. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for him. I said, I'm going to church. And one of my family members said, bah! What do you mean? You're going to leave here and leave him like this and you're going to go to church? I said, yes. Why? I said, because there's about 300 people down there that can pray for him. I can pray for him. We can touch God on his behalf. We can seek the face of the Lord, and there is absolutely nothing that I can do here. Amen. You say, you're a fanatic, Pastor Ken. You better believe I am. I'm a Holy Ghost terrorist, Jenny. I believe that God is who He says He is. If I will honor Him the way He wants me to honor Him, He will bless me and touch my life and everything about it the way that He promises to do. Whew. You say, oh, I'm going through something. I'm so heartbroken. I feel so empty. Yeah, that's why you need to come in here and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord and give thanks to God and black the devil's eye. Because that's what he's trying to do anyway. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to get you to quit. Charlotte, I know the Ravens didn't win, but you got a song in your heart this morning? Come here. See, I just got a need to hear the tone of her voice is what I have. Come on up here with me. She looked at me and said, you're something else. Like, I'm going to kill you later. Oh, I want to give you a mic that has some good reverb on it. Is this yours, Kylie? It ain't. Which one's yours? This one here? She leaves some kind of shtick on it. I don't know what it is, but yeah. Turn her on. Let her roll.
Hello. It's on. Oh, boy. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you use Kylie's mic, you too can sing like that. Bless your heart, girl. To disconnect ourselves from church and from the altar is to lose out on the divine appeal from heaven. God, who calls us, come into my house. Lift up your hearts. lift up your needs, lift up your lives, lift up your worship in God's presence. People tell me they don't need church, man. I don't even know what to say anymore. I think, man, you're so far from it, you don't even get it. You're not even close. Because that inspiration of God when we're together just like that, it calls us upward. It gives us that mysterious connection that touches our hearts and our souls, and we get connected to God's power and His grace, and it inspires us to become our best selves. I hope you leave church every week thinking, I want to be a better me than I was this past week, and I want to be a better me than I was yesterday, and the only person I want to be better than is the one I was yesterday. Amen. See, the Israelites, when they said, man, every word you say, everything you say to do, whatever you command us, we're going to do it, they meant it. They really did. They meant it with all their hearts. Now, if you've read your Bible, you know it doesn't turn out all that good. But I'm telling you, at the time, they were inspired and they meant it. And it's easy to look back on ancient Israel and criticize them from the standpoint and the view that we see today, but you got to think of something. These people had been in the desert for 40 years wandering. A friend of mine went to Israel years ago, and when she came back, she said, I found out something I didn't know. She said, when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness and their sandals didn't wear out, they weren't just walking through sand. The desert over there, literally, if you go down about a foot, it's granite. It's stone underneath. And they walked through that for 40 years. And here, they've been eating manna from heaven, which we know what that is now, right? But it looked like coriander seed. It was like, I don't know, taco or something. They have Taco Tuesday a lot. And Joshua says to them, all of this is going to come to an end. We're going over into the promised land. All they could see was, man, we're thirsty, we're tired, we're hungry, and you're saying, we get to go over into the land it was promised. They're like, man, let's go now. Let's do it. See, the problem was they didn't know at this point what it was going to cost them. They didn't know what the battle was going to be when they got over there. They were just promised inheritance and rest. They said, man, we're all in. We're going to do it. Now, I want you to think about the day you came to Christ. I mean, when you really came and surrendered your heart and life to Christ. Think about the promises you made. The prayers you prayed. The vows of commitment to service. Think about some of the moments of prayer and worship since and how Scripture has burned in your hearts. And at times you have stood in this very sanctuary and you said, God, from today on it's going to be different. We're going to walk out that door and we're going to do things different. I promise you, God. Well, where are you now? How big is the fire? Is it still burning? Is your lamp still lit? Is your fire still burning? Are you still as passionate about God now as you were on the day you started? Yeah. I hope you are. I hope some of you are at least. If not, I got a word for you. Jesus said, do your first works over. You've lost your first love. He needs to be everything to you. I get worried sometimes when people get all excited about church and they don't get excited about Jesus. Because as much as I love church, and I've talked about it this morning, the novelty of it wears off. You know, I mean, from when you first start, you know, you don't get nearly as excited about some of it. But if you truly keep that first love on Christ, nothing ever grows old. Nothing. I was a bad husband early on. But when I learned to love my wife, like God said, He said, I want you to love her like I love the church. I found out when I do that, it keeps the fire burning. All the time. I found out I can be more in love now than I ever was in the beginning. And it's the same way with Christ. When I keep that fire burning and I keep doing all the things that he said and I do what I promised to do in the beginning, the fire never goes out. People have asked me, they said, Pastor, can you ever backslid? I said, no, I'm afraid to. I got away from the devil once, barely. He almost killed me numerous times. I'm not going to give him another opportunity. I'm afraid to. He ain't going to let me live very long if I walk away from God. I can tell you that right now. Because I've been causing him problems for a lot of years now. Amen. See, what we see here in the Israelites, what we're really talking about is what was their motive at this point? Their motive was, it's kind of selfish. I don't think they were all that worried about pleasing Joshua, and they weren't all that worried about pleasing God. They were hungry and tired. Motive is a hard sanctuary to go into because God can really only see our hearts as they truly are. And that can be a scary thing or a wonderful thing, depending on where your heart is. Can't lie to God, you can't trick God, he sees it all. He knows not only what you do, but the motive you do it in. And sometimes, even we as Christians, usually start out with no greater purpose or motive than we don't want to go to hell and we want to live in heaven. People asked me years ago, they said, why'd you get saved? I said, I found out I was going to hell. Initially, that's why. Found out I wasn't in line and harmony with the God of the universe. And I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, the brightest bulb in the pack, but I realized pretty quickly when I finally convicted of the Holy Spirit, said, you're not right with God. I thought, well, there's no use taking another breath, another step, another idea. If I'm not right with God, how can you expect life to turn out okay if you're not right with the God of the universe? Duh. But you know, we can start out really just out of pure selfishness and narrow-mindedness. It's just about saving our own skin. That's not the highest motive, but it's a place to start, and it's better than not starting at all. And most of us do start there, because that's as much as we understand at the time. It takes a while to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, doesn't it? To find out who he really is, to learn that if there were no heaven at all, men would still be their best selves and live their best life and have the best life if none of it's true. Deb's looking at me this morning, sitting over in a wheelchair. But if she said this to me once, she said it probably half a dozen times down through the years. When people say, well, what if you get to the end of life and none of this is real? Well, I'm here to tell you, first of all, it's all real. In fact, this is more real than the people sitting next to you. It says the things that you can't see are eternal. The things that you can see, they're all temporary. But Deb has said to me many times, because we've talked about, you know, when people say, well, what if it isn't real? If it wasn't, if you will live by the teachings of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, I promise you unequivocally, without fail, you will still have lived life the best way that you could possibly live it in this life. Oh, yes. This is the instruction manual to life. If you're tired of hitting your head against the wall in every area and arena of your life, you need to get the manual out and God will show you how to fix it. But heaven is real. See, I started out serving because I was afraid of going to hell. I ain't worried about hell now, Yanni. They can put a hell on every corner. I ain't going. And I'm not serving him now because I'm fearing going to hell. I'm serving him now because I love him, because there has never anybody loved me like he's loved me over the last 40 plus years. I don't do right and walk in his word now because I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't. I do it, Brother Randy, because I love him with all of my heart and soul. I want to please him in everything I do, everything I say, everywhere I go, every part of my being. I one day want to hear him say, "Enter into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant." I want all the people I know and love that I'll leave behind when I die to just be rejoicing when I go. Even if they didn't know me that well, they just think in their hearts, "Ah, I don't have to cry for him. He's home." Yeah. He's home. He's home. And that's all. That's the only place he ever wanted to be anyway. Amen? Amen. Amen. But it takes a while to grow into that. It really does. And to be made over into the image of God's Son. There is peace and joy and love and contentment in you becoming like Jesus from the inside out. That's why he's trying to get you to act like him for your own good, for your own blessing. Now see, Israel's response was given before the battle. They hadn't yet understood the words, "You got to fight for it." In verse 3, we read of this chapter, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, that have I given to you, as I said to Moses." They had to tread on it. And they were going to have to fight for it. And neither Moses nor God had tricked them or lied to them. Because as I shared with you last week, anything that doesn't cost us anything isn't worth anything to us. Don't spoil your kids rotten. One day you'll never be able to give them something else they want. And not only that, they'll hate you for it. That's the ironic thing about it. The kids that dislike their parents the most are the ones that the parents has given them everything. Don't make them responsible for nothing. Just make sure that they got everything just handed to them every moment, ever their slightest wish. Just give it to them. And make them a tenfold child of hell more than yourselves. If you do that. God knew that. God knew we needed to fight a battle. That's why you're still here. Otherwise, when you got saved, he could have just let you drop dead right in church. And go on home. Now we're here. Because we've got a journey. We may have started our journey with no higher purpose than just selfishly wanting to go to heaven. But through the battle, through the trials, through the struggles, we're going to capture the greatest prize known to man, the image of Christ himself formed inside of you. No man is going to experience heaven without who does not grow in grace and learn to experience heaven within. Christ in us. The hope of glory. I've just about had to quit watching social media. I've had to quit watching the news. I bought a really old stereo over the holidays. I bought about a $1,500 stereo, and Brother Steve, I got about $160 in it. Because I turned the TV. I've hardly listened to TV since I set it up. You know why? Because I'm part of a kingdom that is not the kingdom's. Of this world. We're so worried about this party and that party and the government and this country and that country. I want to tell you something. God's got it all in hand. I do what I can do. I get out and vote in this great democracy and freedom that we have. And once I do it, I live with whatever comes around. And I just keep my eyes on Jesus, and I keep marching, and I keep busy about the Father's business, and I just keep doing the will of God. You can't do nothing about all that stuff anyway. Them talk shows will talk you to death about nothing. Armchair quarterbacks. See, the thing is, we are called to a kingdom that is not of this world. This kingdom is in us, Christ in you. The hope of glory. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform. See, we're not called to some land that's way out in some unmeasured region of fancy and imagination. But God does say, the land shall be yours when you set the sole of your feet on it. Krista, I've come to know Christ in a deep way, honey, but I'm telling you, I have had to do some battles to get there. I've had to go through some things. I've had to suffer some things. Sometimes the loss of all things to gain Christ. I'm finally starting to understand what Paul meant when he said, "I count it all loss for the glory and the knowledge and the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen. I don't know who's been praying for me the past couple weeks, but don't stop. I don't know that I have ever felt this Christianity any deeper than I feel it right now in my heart. See, Christianity is in the practical living out of spiritual truths, not just in some mystical ideas about heaven and God. This is a Bible that speaks to every practical moment and area of your life. Jesus said, you want to know how to do life? He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and He's calling you unto Himself. I can't get done. I'm just going to quit. We need inspirations that can happen in a moment that cause us to ecstatically answer, you know what? I will, God. We need to hear those voices from heaven. Who am I going to send? And we need to say, God, here I am. Here I am, God. Send me. Let me be a part of your kingdom. Let me be a part of your work. Let me live my life in a way that it counts for eternity. And that happens in these moments of unanimity, of worship, of being gathered together, inspiring each other's hearts and lives. And I want to tell you something. We may say, God, I will, and I'm going to do it and mean it with every part of our being. But we may falter the very next day after we say it. But we need to do this with each other. Don't measure each other. Don't measure our lives by one moment and one day. God has really been speaking to me in the past couple years about, don't judge people I knew years ago and think they're still in the same place now that they were then. And talk about them as though they were, because they're not. But I can tell you this, if we can truly and honestly say, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. If we can honestly say that, I want to tell you something. Every battle is won before we fight it. If you can honestly and sincerely say, Jesus, I love you. You don't have to fear the end of your life or the end of any circumstance or situation. Only be strong and very courageous, and there shall not be a man that will be able to stand before you, not a demon in hell, not an angel in heaven, that can stop you from doing the will of God. Just be courageous before God. Because God is calling us unto Himself. You want to know what the will of the Lord is for your life? It's in the book. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God, to come out from among them and be separate, and I'll receive you. If any man come after me, let him hate his father and his mother, and you know it, or he cannot be my disciple. Who's on the Lord's side? The side of righteousness, the side of truth, the side of pureness. See, these are questions the real Joshua. Remember Yahshua? The Greek translation is Jesus. He's asking all of us these questions. And I hope you can answer this morning, God helping us with our hearts set like a flint toward the heavenly Jerusalem. Jesus, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. As we hearken unto Moses, in all things we'll hearken unto you. Only may the Lord your God be with you. Be with you as he was with Moses. Are you saying yes to Jesus? Are you really saying yes to Jesus because you're the only one who knows? My prayer is that somehow you would be inspired today to say, count me in. Count me in. I want to go. You say, well, I don't want to go to hell. That's a good place to start. Because without Jesus, you're going. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every moment, every person, every inspiration of the heart, through every song, through every testimony, through every circumstance in life that has pushed my heart toward your heart. But Lord, like Israel of old, I want to be all in. And I want everybody under the sound of my voice to be all in. So Father, draw them to you. Draw them to you. And God, if we've left our first love, set our hearts on fire again. Right here, right now, right in the midst of this congregation is, Lord, let us see angels ascending and descending. Jacob's ladder in this place. But capture every heart, Lord, is my prayer in Jesus' name.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We're grateful for this time of renewing, time of refreshing, a time where we sit in your presence, a time where we sit in the presence with you and others. Lord, I'm grateful for the unity that we share here at New Life, my family. I'm thankful for the unity that we share with other fellow believers across this universe, Father God. Father God, call us together. Rise us up like the nation of Israel, ready to enter the promised land. Let's be in agreement with one another, with your word and what you have instructed us to do. Help us to be in unity, Father God. Help us to lift each other up and support each other, Father God. Father, may that fire burn bright like we first believed, Father God. Draw us unto you, Father God. We need you. We desire you. Holy Spirit, just come now. Fall on us, Holy Spirit. We need your guidance and direction. We need your discernment, Father. Father God, just be with us this coming week as we go into our workplaces, our everyday life, Father God. Lord, may people see you through us as we walk about. Father God, I just lift those up that need prayer today, Father God. Those who are going through sickness and illness, broken relationships, Father God. Those who are struggling with their finances, Father. And Father God, especially those who are struggling with you and their relationship with you. And so, Father God, you know our hearts. Come to those who are calling on you right now. Comfort them, Father God. Lord, just be with us now as we leave this sanctuary. Let us be your hands and feet in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.